Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Everybody, welcome to Through the Bible with Joe McGee, where we're going from Genesis to Revelation, but we're doing it in chronological order, and it's an incredible story. And we're covering most things that people don't ever read. You know, I know I'm a typical Christian. Would you grow up? Would you read? Well, I read Psalms, read Proverbs. I go through Proverbs once a month, every now and then. And I'd read a little bit, you know, in Genesis. And, you know, I'd read Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. And I'd read Revelation every now and then. But I never read the stuff in between. So what I did when I became a school administrator, I took my high school seniors and took them through the Bible. And that's what it's called. A biblical worldview. And you got to look at the world the way God looks at it. God looks at things very differently because he knows what's going on. He has a good understanding. So what we're doing, we're going in the book of Leviticus and we're plowing some deep ground, but it's really good. Now we're just going to hit some high spots, but you're going to learn a lot. So we're in Leviticus chapter 4, and we're kind of just high-topping through some stuff here. Leviticus chapter 4, verse 16. The priest would bring some of the blood into the tabernacle. He would dip his finger into the blood. He would sprinkle it seven times before the Lord in front of the inner curtain. Now, that's just one thing. Now, if you go through, I'm reading out the New Living Translation. I really like this translation a lot. In chapter 6, the Lord spoke to Moses. Suppose some of the people sin against the Lord by falsely telling their neighbor that they trust of safekeeping something that they've lost. They've lied. Or suppose they've been dishonest with regard to a security deposit, or they've taken something by theft or extortion, or suppose they find themselves lying about it and denying something under oath, and they commit another similar sin. If they have sinned in any of these ways, they're guilty, and they must give back whatever this they've taken by theft or extortion. And what it is starting to lay down, when you go through, and it's so detailed, and that's what I wanted my seniors to see. Every sin has a consequence. Every sin, you got to have a payment attached to it. You do this, it's going to cost you this. You do this, it's going to cost you this. You do that, it's going to cost you this. And so what he was trying to do, let people know, sin has you by the throat. You cannot escape it. You are born with a sin nature. The first word you learn after you're born is no. You have a rebellious spirit in you, and you need to be born again. And so God's taking generations to let them see that I'm going to give you the law. The law is good. The law is just, but you can't keep it. I'm going to give it to you, but you can't keep it. But it's going to take several generations for you to understand. We can't keep the law. Well, that was the reason he gave it to begin with. So I'm going to jump over here in Leviticus chapter 8 through 10. This talks about the priestly orders and offense. You know, you kind of watch, you don't get offended anybody. After the sacrifices come and divine requirements of the priests who are to offer them, Moses consecrates Aaron and his four sons to minister in the tabernacle. Sacrifice ceremonies take place for seven consecutive days, after which Aaron begins his duties. The Jewish inaugural week abruptly ends, however, with the disobedience and the death of two of Aaron's sons, which leads to divine announcement about restrictions concerning the priest's conduct. Now, what'd they do? Well, he's got a son, but they didn't do what was right. And two of them dropped dead. God said, you can't just do what you want to do. Sin has death attached to it. The whole thing through all the Old Testament, sin has death attached to it. You don't say, well, I'll sin. I'll live a righteous life, but I won't sin. No, you're going to sin. You're going to need to repent every day and forgive every day and get back up every day. The Bible says the righteous fall seven times a day if they get back up. We're not the perfect people. We're the getting back up people. So the whole reason you go through all the laws to realize there's a law for everything, and you're going to violate every one of them. There's a law for not doing this, for not doing this, for not saying this, for not doing this, for not doing this, and you can't keep from doing it. Good Lord. Has this ever happened to you? You're late for an appointment, pushing the speed limit, make a wrong turn. So you see some flashing lights behind you. I've done it, been in a hurry, going to a meeting, a legitimate meeting, even in ministry. And all of a sudden, I'm breaking the speed limit. Why? I'm late for the meeting. What happened? Well, I probably should have got up earlier. I should have left earlier. I should have planned on heavy traffic. And I'm stuck in traffic. I left on time, but now there's a traffic jam on the interstate and nobody's moving. I got a meeting. And so you finally get out of the traffic jam and you speed. Well, the law didn't change just because you're late. You still can't break the law. And I mean, I've been caught. Some officers write me a speeding ticket. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, you're right. You're right. I shouldn't have been speeding. It was not a life or death situation. I shouldn't have been speeding. So anyhow, the high priest wardrobe fit for just one person. There are many priests, but only one high priest. Only one who would represent the people before God by entering the most holy place to make atonement. To signify this unique role, only the high priest wore the ephod, the sacred ornament of gold and blue and purple and scarlet thread and fine sewn linen. With actually gold sewn into the linen. In other words, when he came in, nobody had an outfit like him. You know, you can go to JCPenney's or Dillard's or Sears. Well, I'm a buddy of mine. He's got a suit like that. I want a suit like that. You can't get a suit like this. There's only one of them. And the high priest wore it because he's representing God to the people and the people to God. It's a two thing deal. And so he's decked out. Everybody can look. Whoa. Well, I'd like to have an outfit. No, you don't want that outfit, because if you go into the Holy of Holies, even with that outfit, and you've got sin in your life, you're going to drop dead. That's why they would tie a rope around the ankle of the high priest when he went in. He's going before God because he's got to be prayed up, repented up, and he's got to be right when he goes in there. And God's trying to show the people, I don't tolerate sin. Sin has death attached to it. It's not because I just want you to do right because it's just right to do right. There's a reason for doing right. So I'm going to pick this up in Leviticus chapter 11. It's a great, like I said, you ought to read it on your own. My favorite translation is the New Living Translation. Modern English, like a greased banana peel. It reads really good. Now, I still study the King James. I just don't speak King James. So I love this New Living Translation. This is Leviticus 11 through 15. This is where the laws are regarding clean and unclean food, childbirth, leprosy, skin diseases, and bodily discharges. What's he covering? Everything. He's covering everything because everything's got, it's got a price to it. Being a holy people demands a holy lifestyle. Ceremonial purity is indispensable part of worshiping a holy God. Oh. That imposes restrictions on one's conduct. For the Israelites, this meant dietary laws, strict health requirements, temporary quarantines after contact with potentially harmful substances. The word unclean occurs more than 100 times during these chapters, showing that ceremonial uncleanness, which is in fact disobedience, is no small matter with God. Like I said, nobody will read the Old Testament because they get bored and they get bogged down. You really ought to read at least one time in your life. You ought to read through the Old Testament at least one time to realize this is really important that you do this. So rules and restrictions bring out the absolute worst in people. There's something about seeing a sign that says wet paint, do not touch. It makes everybody want to touch it. I've done it. And I've had kids that do it. Keep off the grass. Don't feed the chimpanzees. Speed limit 55. It's like somebody's whispering in your ear, I dare you to do it. I dare you to do it. And I've had adult friends minister to them who like, well, you can drive 5-10 miles over the speed limit. They don't care. No, you can't. No, you think you can, because if you've ever been pulled over doing 5 miles over the speed limit, and you can say, well, I was only doing 5 miles over the speed limit. It's 45 for a reason, sir. People smarter than you have decided this road is 45 maximum. So you're doing 57, you're going to get a ticket. Woo, Lord have mercy. I like this. trying to avoid death is what we're trying to do. You don't survive well on doubtful Cheetos and Pepsi Cola. You can't do that. So the same is true about God's laws. God gave his people laws for their protection. So no scavenger animals for dinner, no contact with leprous people, plenty of baths. Yeah, they cleaned up a lot. In today's passage, we look for ways that God protects his people to the laws he gave. A holy people and a horrible disease. Leprosy in the Old Testament was regarded as hereditary and incurable. A leper was excluded from the camp, and only after quarantine and careful inspection would he be declared clean to come back into camp. I mean, they had to go through this whole process. Got to be separated for a while, got to be inspected by the priest. It was a mess. Once again, leprosy is often used in the New Testament as a picture of sin. Like leprosy, sin's treatment demands cleansing and constant alertness. Woo! 1 Corinthians 11:31. The forgiveness of sin, like the healing of leprosy, can be affected by God alone. How do you get sin off of it? God. You go boldly to the throne of grace, get mercy and help. It's like, I've told it so many times, it's like you go into heaven out of breath. God says, hey, how you doing, son? Doing good? What are you doing here? Well, I thought I'd come hang out. Are you in trouble? I might be. Did you sin? I think I have. How's it working out for you? Not too good. You need to learn to run to God, not away from God when you have sin. Because God knows every thought you'll ever think. He knows everything you'll ever do. God knows everything. There are no secrets of God. God knows what you're going to think before you think it. God saw you before your mother met your father. God is all-knowing, everywhere, all the time. There is nothing hidden from God. People say, well, we can get away with it. No, you can't. There are recording angels, the Bible says. There's so many angels, you cannot count them. And some of them are recording angels. They write down every idle deed, every idle thought. My life's being recorded right now. That's why every day you need to repent and forgive. Every day, Lord, I love you. And I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to grow in your grace and your mercy. But Lord, I need you to forgive me because every now and then I mess up. And you don't know when you messed up. You know when you've done wrong. You said the wrong thing. Lord, forgive me. That wasn't right. Now, people say, well, you can spend your life repenting to everybody. No, you don't do that. Just you fall down, you get up, get your hand on the plow, spit the dirt in your mouth, and keep moving. And so you just need to go to God. God, help me do better. God, I'm going to commit my life in your hands. You establish my thoughts. You order my steps. You direct my path. You guide me to all truth. And once you start saying that a lot, you find strength comes from the spoken word of God. People say, how do you live such a good life? I don't live a good life, but I live a better life than I did. Why? Because I'm growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. I learned to not lay down as often and, mess up as often. Like, are you perfect? No, I'm far from perfect, but I've learned to live a better life. It's getting better every day. Tomorrow will be better than today. Next week will be better than this week. Next month will be better than this month. We're going from faith to faith and glory to glory. That's what we're doing. So when you go through Leviticus, you're learning like all these laws. God said, listen, sin's attached to everything. And I've got this way for you to live, and you're not going to be able to do it. But eventually my son's going to show up, and it's going to be your faith in what he did, not what you do. What a wonderful story it is. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.